So we're going to talk about Radio 1, which for those of us who are collectors in the UK, it was the Radio 1 in particular and Radio 2 jingles from Jam that suddenly we kind of came out of hibernation with radio, and it had all kind of got colourful and exciting. So could we just talk a little bit about the 1976 Radio 1, when, picking up our earlier theme of logos, you will have had to have thought, what logo should we give Radio 1 and what logo Radio 2 have, and so on.
Well, let me say, just at the beginning of this whole topic, just to get on the record, that the Radio 1 and Radio 2 jingles are as meaningful to me as they are for you, as listeners to them. It was not just another station or just another package. It was a big deal. We knew that at the time. I had been aware of what Radio 1 was since the day it began. So it wasn't like somebody I've never heard of from another country is wanting us to do jingles. Okay, it was a big deal, and still is. So we always, not to say that we didn't always try to do our best, but we always tried to polish it even a little more when we were doing the BBC stuff. And as a result of that, you know, some of the things that we did for Radio 1 and 2 are among the best things we ever did, which is another reason to be fond of that whole era.
Yeah.
And I also should stress that it wasn't just the jingles, it was the relationships that were formed with the people who we worked with, who were great. And there were, you know, many of them through the many years that we did it, but it became more than making a product for a client. It was trying to make your friends happy.
Yeah.
Which is a subtle difference, but you know, you may go the extra mile or do a little more when there's a personal aspect of it as well. So, you know, I really remember that whole span of time very fondly for that reason, and makes it even all the more sad that changed later on, because it changed violently the whole culture and the whole relationship. Just couldn't have changed any more dramatically. But that being as it may, is becoming ancient history. Longer we sit here, the more ancient it becomes. But you were asking about the logo and the 76 package. Prior to using the Jam stuff, of course, Radio 1 had Pam's material.
Yeah.
A little bit of which I worked on when I was at Pam's. I had actually met Derek Chinnery at Pam's for the very first time. That didn't really play into why we got the account later, but at least when we did, he said, "Oh yeah, I remember you." You know,
yeah, so there's a connection.
But I mean, it was really Johnny Beerling from Radio 1 and Derek Mills from Radio 2 who decided to go with us. And thank you, Johnny and Derek. But we had originally done what once they had expressed some interest, and I had traveled to London. My first trip ever to London, actually, was around Christmas time of 75. And I had a brief meeting with each of them just to say, "Hi, we're here and we exist, and here's a sample of what we do, and sure hope we can help you one day." It was just a sales call. And they liked the stuff, and you know, when they responded and said, "Well, we'd like to do something," and so we made some we made a little presentation that had some audition cuts in it, bits of which famously Chris Moyles played on the show including my narration of what we were doing without any permission or right to do so. And it still makes me mad because that was a closed circuit, not for broadcast thing. But whatever. The logo we did on our original audition cuts was the one that they had been using in their PAM stuff,
right,
which was...
Oh, yes.
Radio, you know. They were using that. So on our audition cuts, which was just a few jingles just to show them, yes, we can say these words, we used that logo. But when it was time to do the actual package, they decided they wanted a different one.
Was that at all prompted by you saying, have you thought about, does this logo work? Is it a bit twee? Or?
No, at that point, I was happy to do whatever they wanted.
Yes, okay.
Later on, I got to where I could make suggestions and recommendations, and they solicited that. But here is the difference in philosophy, because over here, and we talked about this a few minutes ago when we were talking about logos in general, over here the philosophy had been come up with a logo and stick with it and use it for years, use it for decades. Whereas at Radio 1 and even 2, the idea was, okay, we've had this for 2 years.
Yes, refresh it.
We need something fresh. Yeah. We need something new. And so a philosophy which has also fallen by the wayside in the last decade or so. But they're, you know, they were more interested in having not only new jingles, but a new logo to make it even more clear that they were new jingles. And because of that, many times, you know, when the new package arrived, it would completely replace the old one. Unlike over here, where typically new cuts are kind of phased in and some of the old ones are retired and maybe brought back later, and, which is a benefit of actually keeping the same logo for a long time, is you can bring back the cuts from 3 years ago because they still fit in.
Yeah.
Radio 1 and 2 just wanted something different. I don't really remember how it came to pass that we settled on... It was probably just as simple as me saying, how about, you know.
What notes are those, just for the musically literate?
Well, it depends, of course, what key you're playing it in.
Of course. Immediately shows I'm not one of the musically literate.
I mean, I just played it in the key of F, and it's B flat, A, F, C. You know, it could be in the key of C, and then it would be.
That's,
you know,
76. It changes in 78, does it?
It changed every 2 years.
Okay.
Because they would do a package and license it for 2 years, and then on it was pretty much every even numbered year for a while there. We would come back and change it. Now the initial Radio 1 stuff had that logo. The Radio 2 was pretty much determined by the logo that was already on the packages that they were buying. So Radio 2 in their initial batch bought our Magic Music package, which was WMGK FM 103, and they made it BBC Radio 2. And then some lyric at the end. So the Magic Music jingles, they just kept that melody that was already there. They also bought a lot of cuts from another package we had called Music Maker, which, you know, had been done for CAU-FM in Philadelphia and had a different logo on it, you know. WCAU, it was that Drake thing. And so they just, on those jingles, kept that logo, you know. This is Radio 2.
Oh, yes, of course they did.
And that...
Yeah. In fact, that was their travel news. With the travel news.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Radio 2, within the same package, had two or three logos.
And did you... And you weren't at the... there kind of counseling them against it or anything? Is the way they wanted to work.
In 76, it was, yes, sir, whatever you'd like.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but you know, I'm sure I mentioned it, And I'm sure they said, no, we quite like that.
Yeah.
Or something laid back and of that
I've nature. Never thought of that until you've just played that. But it's interesting how I immediately go to a particular cut, the Travel News cut, for example, and how embedded the two logos were.
But also, I think we mentioned this the other day, too. It is, you know, one of the often asked questions is, what's your favorite jingle? What's your favorite package? I have no answer. It's an unanswerable question because it depends on what phase you're talking about or what mood you're talking about. But I will say that the seven voice vocals, and here's another interesting sign of the times. In 76, both Radio 1 and Radio 2 had jingles with the same group on them. It was, for the most part, the seven voice group. There were a few solos in Magic Music, but it was the same people, the same group singing for both Radio 1 and 2. And in fact, on that first package, they only sent one guy over to oversee both of them. It was Derek from Radio 2 overseeing both the Radio 1 and 2 packages.
But actually, when we were listening to some Radio 1 jingles in the car the other night, there's that one cut, the best music, we play it all, and I thought, oh, it's a Radio 2 jingle, because it's a Radio 1 jingle, and it is a sign of how, well, exactly what you're saying, there was an interchangeability of the singers there,
at that point.
And, which was the big culture shock to those of us listening in 1978, when suddenly we were hearing for Radio 1 this different kind of feel.
Right. And, you know, I mean, the thing that differentiated them was the logo, the lyrics, obviously.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say about that seven-voice stuff is it is, I mean, the fates just came together. That and everybody sitting up straight and paying attention because it was for the BBC. I maintain that is the best, or if not, certainly one of the best, seven-voice vocals ever recorded in the history of man. Because every one of those singers in that group at that time was in their prime, at the top of their game. It is perfectly in tune and balanced and enunciated and all these little technical things that I would pick up on, and I listen back to those still, and it's like, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. Sometimes
you get lucky.
You knew it was a big deal. Did the singers either pick that up from you, or because they knew of the BBC? Because there is something about that whole thing, and you know, you wonder how far is that the power of hindsight? But there was this sense that something new was happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, many of them had sung on BBC stuff before at PAMS or whatever. And, I must say, the singers, for the most part, are fairly blasé about what they're singing because the singers are not radio people. They're musicians. And singing jingles is a way to make a living musically. And they like to sing, and they like doing the harmonies and stuff. But, you know, what excites them is not, ooh, we sang jingles for Mix 102.7 today. What excites them is, oh, I got to make these nice chords and sing with my friends and have a nice day and get paid for it. So the singers quite literally could sing somebody's jingles for 4 hours, and as they were walking out the door at the end, you could ask them, what'd you sing today? They go, I don't know. Because, you know, it just the call letters or the names of the stations don't register.
That's not the significant bit to them,
except for a few.
Yeah,
you know, they will know that they just spent 8 hours singing WLS, and they will know that the BBC is a big deal. You know, it was an honor.
That the nerdy side question, which may not be true. Am I right of thinking that that original Magic Music package was sung elsewhere? Wasn't Los Angeles?
The demo, or, well, I mean, the original custom that aired in Philadelphia on Magic was actually sung in Los Angeles with the LA Singers, except for a handful of cuts that were either solos or duets that were done in Dallas. Part of that was because of my love of that group that had sung all those Heller Hamilton things that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was looking for a reason to go out and meet those people and work with those people because I wanted to do that. So, you know, I convinced the client that these jingles should have a different sound because we had just done a few months earlier the backseat music package for their AM station. I said, yeah, well, this is a whole different format. It's a whole different sound. Mm. Plus, there were plenty of other stations on FM in the market at that time that had Dallas jingles from us or other people. But, you know, they do have somewhat of a similar sound because it's different mixes of the same singers. So I said, we need something completely different. And I played them examples of what the LA group sounded like on some of those other things. And, you know, and he agreed. It's Julian Breen we're talking about, who was the program director that we worked with. And, you know, he was up for a good adventure, too. So we went off to L.A. to sing that. But we actually brought Jim Clancy, who was our famous bass singer, we brought him with us to sing with them because Julian liked, you know, the big bottom sound. And he said, yeah, well, I like those LA singers. They just don't have that bottom sound. Well, of course, they could have had it been written that way. It's not like there weren't bass singers in LA. But I figured, oh, great, Jim gets to come along and have an adventure too. Fine. So there was actually one Dallas voice in there.
Mixed
with the...
Presumably that means, though, that when you were playing some of those cuts to Radio 2, they were listening to different singers from who they were going to get on, you know, when they were being sung for them.
Yeah, although by that point in time, I think we had done the package several other times for different stations, and I'm sure I played them a sample of what it sounds like in Dallas, and I said, oh, we quite like that.
So... what you've told us there is that, say, Radio 2 and Radio 1 are listening to some of the packages you've already got, and they're then picking and choosing which cuts they particularly are interested in, except that they also need a news and a traffic jingle, and indeed a weather jingle. Now, those were customs for both? Well,
there were a small number of custom cuts done to satisfy specific needs that we didn't have anything in our... then very small library of packages to satisfy. So we did some custom stuff, it was all done at the same time. So the Radio 1 news and the beep, 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 yeah, travel cut, and Radio 2 goes racing, and Sport on 2, and all these custom ones were all done in one big session at the same time. That was to fill in the needs for that. And getting around to that news jingle, as we said a little while ago, they had this desire to change the logo every couple of years, but they wanted the consistency of the news jingle to sort of remain the same. So... you know, I lost track of how many times we changed the logo on the front of the news cut for Radio 1. Because the original had the brass playing it, and then the next year we changed the logo with the Moog, the synthesizer, and then, you know, it went through three or four incarnations and different amounts of little synthesized beeps and things in the background. That changed. But that same jingle, that's, you know, the core root jingle there, lasted a pretty long time.
It did. And had they said that they wanted to have that sung element? Because quite often the news jingle on any station doesn't have the sing, as it were. Mm. I always thought Radio 1 was quite unusual in having the sing there. Was that something that you discussed with them?
That's just something they said they wanted. I don't remember... I mean, yeah, it was unusual because most news logos are just the logo and then a little trail and it fades under the newscast. They wanted to have it sung. Okay.
Can you remind us of how the Radio 1 logo develops? Go 76.
I wonder if I can. Well, as okay, the 76 stuff was the... Okay. And it was in the... the whole, yeah, all of their cuts were consistent. It was Radio 2 that was a little bit confusing with the two different ones. And then, I know I'm going to get the order wrong. If I had the
78 was da, 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 da.
If I had the if I had my written notes in front of me, I'd be able to do it. Yeah, became, was that the 78?
I think so.
Which, I don't know that I've ever... That's what it was.
Just give us the seven. Just give us the 76, then the 78.
Yeah, it went from to, and let's see. We know that that may have carried over into the 80 as well, because I remember they got those that cut from Outstanding where the where the Sonovox goes stereo, and then they sing, you know, Radio One.
They do, yeah. That's right, yeah.
So we may have actually sustained that logo a little longer. But then we did in 82, was the music now custom in 82 or 84? I think it was, you know, because what happened there after a while is... They, the Radio 1, at least, decided that the American jingles were not rock enough, or were not edgy enough, or whatever, and they wanted to move in that direction. And we did have some packages that were like that, but that's when they started doing custom things, not exclusively.
Mm.
The last three packages that we did for them in 93 and 91 and 89, somehow we got onto odd years, I think, starting in 87. Those were completely custom. You know, that would be closer to 1FM, closer to the music, and the Ultimate One is what we eventually called them. So by that point, they decided they just needed to do custom things. But prior to that, Music Now was a custom in the early 80s, but then they went back to getting the syndicated stuff. I mean, the best show in Denver became the best show in Britain very, very nicely. And, you know, and they liked the KZZP package because it lent itself to Britain's favorite Radio 1 because the logo melody... which was really 104.7 FM in the original, but they just said, oh, it's great. So, you know, it was a mix of...
Going back to where we started with that conversation, you made the point that the same group was singing the Radio 1 and Radio 2 jingles in 76. That's not the case in 78, when Radio 1 gets a different vocal group.
It's partially the case, because some of the cuts were with the seven voice group, but and this was true at the time, even on WLS, particularly in the 1979 and 81 era. I mean, WLS would have us do some cuts seven voice and some cuts five.
Right.
In these big, huge custom packages that we would do for them, and for sales purposes, we would divide those into two different packages. So, for example, in 1980, we did this huge package for WLS. The seven-voice portion became known as Outstanding. The five-voice portion was called The Rock. In 79, the seven-voice portion was Music Jam. The five-voice portion was Dance to the Music. In 81, the seven voice, and this is prophetic, The seven-voice portion was called AM. The five-voice portion was called FM.
Yes.
But they were actually done at the same time.
Yes, I see. Yeah.
And so, I mean, Radio 1 did the same thing to some extent. You know, they had some with the seven-voice group and some with the five. But then, starting in the 80s, they pretty much left the seven-voice behind because they thought that was much too Radio 2.
Hmm.
They left Radio 2 in that mode. And Radio 2, and it did fit Radio 2. I mean, the big, fat, nice, pleasant chords. And Radio 1 was trying to be younger and edgier and all the things that Radio 1 is. So, you know, they wanted more guitar-driven stuff and sharper vocals and all that. So that's what they got.
Very good. Good. I don't know if we have to start heading to an airport or not, but... Okay. Is there anything else just on the whole Radio 1?
See, I'm trying Radio to make 2. You miss your plane so that for the for the next 7 months I can get nothing done except answer questions.
That traffic jingle for Radio 1, I think you told me Chris Kershaw who was behind that. Was that something where you talked with Radio 1 saying, how about if we have an allusion to the Beatles or something like that?
That, again, I have my notes. I can look. I seem to think using that was their idea. They didn't know how to use it, but I think they wanted to. I would have to check to be 100% certain, but that might have been their idea. But what I do remember about that is that, you know, with the exception of where it sings beep beep, yeah, I mean the rest of the track has nothing to do with the with the song. But it was this, you know, it was disco because it was 76 and that was the thing that was in vogue. And it was quite long. I mean, it was about a 2 minute bed. And we had a lot of fun working on it. And I remember that Derek Mills, who was over supervising on behalf of both networks, which, you know, in later years would never happen because of conflicting, not only conflicting desires about what they wanted, but just the whole pride of,
yes,
I'm not going to have a Radio 2 bloke supervise my jingles.
Yes. So you'd have someone in a suit from Radio 2 and someone in a t-shirt from Radio 1. Yeah.
But I know that Derek would always tease us about, you know, I think you people are working on a record album on the side here on my time, you know. He was a great guy. He just had a sense of humor and was fun to, well, they all were, but we were particularly fond of Derek, who's no longer with us, and Johnny Beerling, who is with us, who I hear from time to time. You know, very, very fun projects. And, you know, meeting, and on my annual or semi-annual, biannual trips to London, you know, I would usually go over for a week, and you know, we would have 4 or 5 days, and it was split between Radio 1 and 2, so I had, you know, two different groups of meetings. But, you know, we would sit with the executive producers. They had I suppose they still have, but then especially they had this hierarchy of producers and executive producers and controller, and which was quite foreign, literally and figuratively, to me, because it doesn't work to that way here. But you know, we'd have these meetings and we'd listen to the demos, and people would say, "Oh, I quite like that one," and "That one not so much," and you know, and then you talk to the producers of each individual show. Yes, well, I need a cut for. You know, for Steve Wright that does this, or I need a cut for Tony that does that, or, and then I'd say, oh, well, okay. I'd reach into my little bag of tricks and say, well, how about that one? And they go, yes, that would work, or well, what could we say there? And then I'd try to think of something, or someone else in the room was. There was a lot of input, which was good. And then, you know, towards the end of that week, we would have to whittle down the 2,000 cuts everybody had picked out to something manageable and affordable. And it was good fun. It was intense, and it was a lot of work, and it was good fun. And then usually at the end of the week or on the weekend, you know, they would take me around sightseeing or you know, invite me to stay with them for a few nights and see the English countryside. And so, yeah, it was fun. I liked those trips.
Yeah. Well, as I said at the start, there were jingles that led to many of us both enjoying radio more than we had done, I think, but also appreciating jingles, for which, you know, belated thanks, I think, from everyone. Seriously.
It was and is our pleasure.